Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Hurricane Horowitz.
And here we are again. Hurricane Horowitz. And here we are on the 4th of October. We're almost finishing the year.
Yeah. And it may come to a quicker end for me.
So you're apparently right in the path of the oncoming, potentially Category 4, but more likely Category 3, very windy hurricane that's going to bounce off the coast and apparently hit mid-Florida, which is very unusual.
Yeah, and of course I have a house there too. I have a house in Fort Lauderdale that I live in, and I have a vacation property in Lake Placid, which is a bit inland, but right above Lake Okeechobee.
So this will be a mess.
Yeah, this is the end of everything.
Sounds like it. There goes your little wiki hut.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I have to actually do a little work to that. I got to strap down the boat. The tiki hut, I found out, just a quick point, on the top there's these cross beams, these big logs, and it seems that those logs are not bolted down. They're just there to hold things down, and if the wind is more than 40 or 50 miles an hour, those things become torpedoes.
Right, and they're smashed into something.
Yeah, so I have to do something about that.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And what about your, what do you do? Now, you're north of Fort Lauderdale?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're actually in the town?
Mm-hmm.
And that's north of Palm Beach, right?
South of Palm Beach, north of Miami.
Oh, it's south of Palm Beach. Well, that you may not get black. The way I listened to some weather guy today, and he went on and on about, and he's supposed to be the superstar, can tell you stuff you wouldn't know otherwise. He says, unlike most of these hurricanes, appears that it's going to hit Florida north of Palm Beach.
Yeah, from what I could see, unless things change dramatically, it looks like there's going to be, again, you know, the storm will track wherever it's going to track. But right now, the track looks like it's going to, the center of it will be north of me. So that means that I'll still get the part, just a small part of the northwest side of the hurricane, which will bring a lot of storm surge, which is not great because I live on the water.
Yes, I would say.
In a relatively, on the east side of town, on a relatively low-lying area that actually has no sewer drains. There's no sewers. There's no, like, you know, places the water goes. It just dissipates. So the streets get a little bit flooded during very, very heavy rains. And the because I live in an older area, the electrical lines are not underground. So
that's sometimes good and sometimes bad.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. It's supposed to be hitting here about Thursday evening. So we'll know a little bit more as the next couple of days passes and, of course, have to do a few. The good news is the old days, I remember when there was hurricanes, we had to like deal with all this backup of information, like take the drives, put them in a safety deposit box and all this stuff. These days we have automatic cloud backups of everything. Makes it a lot easier. A lot easier. Well, let me give you an update on some of the market issues that are going on. We saw some very whippy action over the last several days. There's been movement in the bond yields. We saw the Treasury, the 10-year Treasury now at 1.67%, which is still very low. But nonetheless, it is higher than it's been. And there's a big concern now that this may be the time, who knows, that there's going to be a jump of yields. And the dollar came up pretty strong today. Gold and silver got crushed. One of the worst days for gold and silver in years, maybe 3 years. Gold was down 2.5%, silver down more than 5%. And we have to wonder if this is just a little blip in the lovely market condition we've had, or maybe it's the calendar-based seasonal action. They say sell Rosh Hashanah, buy Yom Kippur. It's kind of sell and may go away. You have this sell Rosh Hashanah, buy Yom Kippur, which is next week.
Seems okay.
I don't know what that's about.
Possibly.
And the gold miners, the ETF that has all the gold miners in it, got hit by 9.5% today, down 25% from the recent high, but it's still up about 85% year to date. So gold and silver, kind of an interesting situation there. You know, you have to wonder when this becomes a buy. It was a pretty big downtick here, though, but I don't know if it's quite yet. But, you know, there's discussion about, you know, who was buying the gold and silver and what was it for? Was it the central banks that were buying, like, for years? Maybe not, because they have other issues that they're dealing with right now. They're probably unloading it to bring in cash. Is it the jewelry sales? Well, those aren't really looking that great either. So it was speculators, and maybe they're looking to unload at this point and get some, you know, taking some profits. So
yeah, we'll could be any of these things.
And last week we had some kind of, again, some, you know, into the end of the week on Thursday, I think it was Thursday, there was a pretty big downslope of the market. Some of it came back on Friday, but a lot of that was due to the news that Deutsche Bank was continuing to implode. Stock kept on diving down. Remember last week we talked about it at a, you know, all-time low. It went further down. It was down like 10% one day. And this whole issue about the U.S. imposing this major penalty on them, the $14 billion.
Right.
So on Friday,
this penalty to get our money back.
Right. On Friday, there was a rumor or a report that the bank reached a settlement with the U.S. on some kind of, on the penalty, which would be maybe only $5 billion, not $14 billion. So the stock was up like 13%. Markets kind of were all excited that, oh, that's great. Well, that turns out not to be true, of course. So that was a well-placed news item ahead of the close of the month and quarter.
Huh.
And over the weekend, on Saturday, the Italian government also has now sued Deutsche Bank for their part in the destruction of Banco Monte Paschi, their biggest bank, during the financial crisis.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Bless you. Pylon is what it is. It's Pylon, you know? So that's what's happening with markets. And also there's been some very strange commentary out of the ECB, the European, the central bank for Europe. That Well, they talked about, you know, a few weeks ago that, oh, they're going to increase their asset purchases and, you know, maybe even do some more quantitative easing and push rates more negative and all this. And maybe they'll start buying stocks and real estate investment trusts on the market. And today there was some kind of discussion about them actually tapering their asset purchases. It's just really weird. I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to see.
They're following the lead of Japan.
Maybe, or they're just sending up trial balloons in order to see what the market will like and what they won't like, and then figure that out and then just go along with that.
That's kind of pathetic.
The whole thing is pathetic. So anyway, we have some interesting news, some fun news that is going on. We have, first of all, I'll just mention one more point that on an administrative note here, we will not be at this point. And not because of the destruction of all my houses and offices, but next week is Yom Kippur. So Happy New Year to all of our Jewish friends out there that are celebrating this wonderful holiday. But next week on Tuesday evening is the what we call Erev, or night before, or night of, start of Yom Kippur, one of the holiest of holidays in the Jewish faith. So I'm not going to be doing a show. So just let me know.
What do you do instead?
I'll be home having a dinner, maybe going to temple or not. And then the next day we fast. No eating till...
You have to fast the whole day?
Yeah.
From hour to hour, or is it 24-hour fast?
No, it's from... it's supposed to be 24 hours. From about sundown to sundown.
That's the time to get your blood tested.
Good. That's a good point. I'll be lean on all the important things that are problematic, I guess, right? My everything will be right. And weigh in if I'm on a diet. Let me talk to you about some really interesting rumors, and I think you may have seen this, but you know, we talked about several weeks ago that this horrible disaster with the SpaceX rocket that blew up on the runway or on the
You know, the funny thing is within a day of that, I had tweeted to Elon Musk as he's bitching about something. I said, have you ever considered that this was sabotage?
Oh, well.
And the reason I suggest that is because this thing, I've seen a lot of rockets explode since I was a kid and got to see the Vanguard rocket never take off. And I've never seen one blow up from the top down like this one did. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm very intrigued by some of the theories they've got, which apparently one of these, they're very accusatory. About a mile from the launch pad, there is a building owned by United Launch Systems, or the competitor, which I think is a joint venture between Boeing and somebody else.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin, yeah.
Yeah, Lockheed Martin. Somebody suggested that somebody went on the roof, a sniper, and then took like an explosive round or something and shot the rocket.
Right.
And it's a mile away. I know, since I do some shooting myself, a mile for a guy who knows what he's doing, a real sniper type guy, some of those guys can hit a target 2 miles away. So that's not like a impossibility.
And they said something about they saw a black shadow and a white mark in some in one surveillance camera that was watching all this. It was some kind of a shadow or something that was in the background, and that may have been
Some other people have seen that too, and they dismiss it as it was mosquitoes or something around the camera. It's just an optical illusion.
Well, I mean,
I'm more inclined to believe the sniper.
Well, I mean, you may be thinking out there, well, why would this? Why? You know, what's the? Well, SpaceX has the potential, if they are successful in their projects of launching these rockets, could possibly take some of the business away from, particularly governmental business, from United Launch Alliance. And therefore, it caused them, you know, all sorts of, you know, maybe problems. I mean,
millions, hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake.
Right. So now, and this is by the way, the Washington Post is reporting this. So, you know, it's not like we're talking about National Enquirer. It's close, but it's not the National Enquirer.
Not quite.
Right. But that's owned by Jeff Bezos, of course.
The Washington Post, yeah. Yes.
The WAPO. And so I don't know. I don't know what everybody thinks about this. I think it's kind of an interesting situation. The other thing is that maybe they're bringing this up because something that we also talked about was what's going to happen. Who's paying for this? And if, in fact, there was a clause inside of their insurance contract that just an explosion that would happen when it was on the launch pad would not be covered. Possibly there is some sabotage or some other kind of, action taken by others that causes to happen would be covered by the insurance.
Yeah, there could be some hanky-panky going on here.
Always is. So we'll be following this crazy story. As a matter of fact, Elon Musk mentioned that they'll be ready as soon as next month for another launch.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, you remember Martin Shkreli? He's that.
Everybody remembers that guy.
Really, guy. This guy makes a living at being an asshole. So that's fine. You know, he does a good job of it, and he's made some money over the years. Well, it seems that he's auctioning off a chance to slap and or punch him in the face to benefit a former friend. I guess somebody had passed or something happened, and he's raising money for this person. So he's put this auction up, and I guess so far the bids are like $78,000 to punch him in the face. It's up to, and $25,000 to slap him. How do you like that?
That's pretty funny, but I'm reminded I had a blog entry of this. I was at some Berkeley street fair, and there was some poor schlub standing there with a sign that said, "Kick me in the balls, $10.
Oh, that's rough. And?
I asked him about it. I said, "Do you get kicked in the balls a lot?" He says, "Yeah, probably more than I'd like."
Oh, gosh. That's unbelievable. I mean, I saw a lot of crazy things. I was just out in Vegas for a few days. I was out on Thursday through Saturday night. And I hadn't been there in some time. I think I told you I was going to go to the various places. I didn't make it to the Pinball Museum. But I did go to the old neon sign junkyard, graveyard. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
The hotels are beautiful. I got to tell you something. Went to a couple.
Hotel?
I stayed at the Mirage.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Which is an old hotel, but it's beautiful. It's fine. It's right in a great location. Walked down to Caesars because my son had a friend there that works there. And he showed us around. We had a buffet and had a good time there. Then went down to the Cosmopolitan, MGM Grand, New York, Paris, Vegas, and all this, and a few other places. I went to the Wynn, Which I got to tell you something. If I was to write a Inside Vegas the secrets of Las Vegas, I could write one on one topic right now. And that is, you go to the Wynn Buffet, which is this incredible, the room is beautiful with fresh flowers, unbelievable. And the buffet is just, it goes on and on. Beautiful and marble laden and people with, they have prime rib and Asian stations, and you can't imagine making unbelievable desserts. You get there,
it's outrageous.
It's unbelievable. You get there at 3 o'clock, it's $26, which is pretty cheap for a giant
steal.
Yeah. You get there at 3 o'clock though, you pay $26, and then the next thing you know, you're in there, and all of a sudden they start changing everything over for dinner, where they bring out the snow crabs and the oysters and the shrimps and the beef ribs and just an and you pay the lunch price. You could stay there through the whole dinner, which would be about $55.
Oh, this is an interesting tip.
Yeah.
So what time did they make the change over the price?
It was like 3 o'clock. I didn't know this going into it. I just happened to be there at about 2:55. I walked in and all of a sudden they start changing stuff around. I'm like, oh my God, they're closing the buffet. How am I going to eat? And I asked somebody, I said, what's the story? They said, you eat. We're changing it over for dinner. Just eat that. I said, okay. That was great.
Yeah, it wasn't like it's cheap at $55, but $26.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's a good tip.
And that's all we ended up eating.
Was that the encore? Or was that the encore? Or was that Wynn?
That was Wynn.
Okay.
That was Wynn. So and truly a beautiful, beautiful hotel. Casino was gorgeous. I mean, everything about this hotel was fantastic. So it was very nice. And then we went. So we went to the topless pool for a party up there at the Mirage. And so we get in there. It's about $50 to get in, but we're guests of the Mirage. So we get in for free. And the new way of doing things is that if you want a lounge chair, it's $100 minimum spend. So I have to buy $100 worth of drinks, which, by the way, we got up there. I had a beer with a shot in it. So a Cuervo, what do they call it? A Corona Ultimate, right? So they put a beer, they put it in a glass, and they throw a shot of something like tequila or
it's
vodka.
It's a Boilermaker.
Yeah, exactly. So how much at the topless pool, called Bear, this way, how much was two beers with shots in each?
I would say if it was a fair price, it would be, for Vegas, it'd be $30 for two.
53.
A little steep.
And I said, well, if I take a chair, can I move it? Nope, you can't. You had this at the bar at the pool. You can't move it over to the chairs. So I'm like, so I still have to pay at least $100 per person for drinks to have the chairs. Yes. And of course, the day I go, it's not a topless bar, not a topless pool, because there's some kind of poker tournament going on. And there's all these, $400,000 poker tournament at the pool. And there's all these cameras there and all this. So that no topless that day.
Oh, that's a jip.
Oh, talk about just, being let down. So, yeah. All right. Keeping going in the area of finance and world business news. Seems to be an underreported. I didn't know about this till today. About 95 tons of oil.
Yeah, tons. T-O-N-N-E-S.
Yeah. Tons of oil have been leaked into the North Sea from a BP, British Petroleum, platform. Leak is about 2.5 times smaller than the biggest North Sea spill in recent years, but it's still kind of moving in a northerly direction. So I don't know if you've heard about this, but I thought it was kind of interesting.
No, I haven't heard a thing about it.
I'm telling you.
Will a hurricane pick it up and throw it all over Florida?
Probably. This isn't the North Sea. Probably not, actually.
No, it's too far.
Yeah, too far. But, it's bad. I mean, you got these situations. This is a lot of oil, and, it was a tidbit on the corner of a page somewhere. In China, prices of some parts of the areas in China, the home prices, recently came in a whopping 23% increase in home values over the last year.
That's terrible.
And one of the things that the Chinese government has done is they said, well, we're going to require larger down payments on homes because we don't want this to get out of hand, right? We want to kind of clamp down on this, and we don't want people putting, let's say, 5% down on a home, buying another home.
And then buying five of them.
Right. So what happens? So the Chinese people know that it's going to happen. Let's just say the date was, September 20th, the date that after this day, you have to put more money down on your home. So the Chinese go crazy, and they decide, well, What they're going to do is rush in and get as many of these properties as they can before the deal changes. And they're like, there's videos of them going into apartment buildings, kind of like almost what you see on a Black Friday. People just, blowing out doors, toppling over, people stampeding and trying to get in so they can get these homes before the minimum down payment goes up.
Wow.
So now there's a big concern by some players there. There's a Chinese billionaire, Wang Jianlin, who is a real estate mogul there. He says that he's warning that this is spiraling out of control and the biggest bubble of anything he's ever seen in history.
Hmm.
So beware of what's happening.
That's probably the biggest bubble that there is.
Yeah. So on to another gotcha, another uh-oh, another oops by our favorite company, Yahoo. So you remember within a month ago, there was
a good story.
Yeah, well, a month ago, there was a story that Yahoo's emails were hacked back in 2014, which has got to get Verizon scratching their head about why this wasn't disclosed prior. So, okay, even if they could live with this, now a story comes out that a secretly built software package by Yahoo was used to search all of his customers' incoming emails for specific information provided by the U.S. intelligence officials.
Requested.
Yeah, requested. Now, hundreds of millions of emails were scanned at the request of FBI and NSA, and a few different employees have confirmed this. And what's interesting is now, I think Microsoft was out with a comment tonight, something like, we have never, they very carefully worded this, we have never done any of the scans of emails that that was described by Yahoo, which leaves the door open to...
Right, some other method.
Yeah, exactly. So they kind of carefully worded this. But you remember a few years ago, there was a big uprising that the government wanted to have Google and Apple and Microsoft and all these companies have access to emails and customer data, and they all fought it. So I don't know why Yahoo gave into this. But this is another problem. But you got to wonder whether Verizon is going to come in here and say, you know, that price that we offered you and maybe this is why they did an auction versus a bidding war. Well, it's similar, but it was a different type of process. But you've got to wonder what else is lurking underneath this whole thing. And, you know, Melissa Meyer, of course, is going to still get her gigantic package when this deal closes.
Yeah.
What a disaster she's been.
Oh, horrible. Well, you know, what experience did she have?
Not much. And made very poor decisions.
What gets me is that all these blowhards in Silicon Valley, Mark Andreessen and everybody in between, you know, Sun people, everybody in the valley. Oh, this is going to be so great. She is great. She is great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do they know?
Mm-hmm. Now, India cut its interest rates in a surprise move overnight. And this is obviously, as we know, over the last several years, an ongoing process of central banks either surprising or doing whatever they can to stimulate. I find it really interesting how they feel it necessary to do these surprise moves, because I guess they want to shock the markets. It's not by doing a surprise move of interest rates and cutting it. It's not because they want to say, oh, by surprising everybody, it's going to create quick expansion of our economy. That's not it at all. The only thing that a surprise does, it gets those players that are offsided in the market, in their positioning, to readjust it quickly and push things very fast.
Fast.
So, you know, it's all that's how you could tell this is all market motivated. So here's the question I have for you. How many rate cuts by central banks have there been so far in 2016?
Rate cuts?
Yep, rate cuts.
I don't know of any.
What do you mean? There's been you saw Japan push further into...
Oh, yeah, Japan. Yeah.
And you saw the euro push further into...
Well, I don't... You're right.
So let me give you the number. Here's the number. You ready? 102.
I'm way off.
102, and that outflanks the 101 official rate cuts from 2015.
I just only look at the Fed. We haven't done any.
Right. Well, okay. We actually increased rates. Well, not this year, but last year.
Well, not recently.
Yeah. Donald Trump, we have actually, are you recording the vice presidential debate?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to use it to put myself to sleep later.
Well, that's a good idea. So the Donald Trump Foundation is in all sorts of hot water. You know, this whole thing with his taxes where he took a $975 million tax loss and he's been pushing it forward, and how he says that he, I think his comment was that brilliant, brilliant move using the tax code to his favor to not pay taxes, which, you know, as a business person, that's not an unreasonable thing to say. However, running for president, it doesn't look as good.
No.
But now it seems that the Donald J. Trump Foundation must stop fundraising in New York and turn over all delinquent financial reports in the next 2 weeks or face possible fraud claims. As the New York State Attorney General's office said, it seems they violated New York State laws that require charities to register with a state oversight agency and submit yearly audited financial statements, according to the notice from the office of Eric Schneiderman. So,
yeah, this is somewhat ironic, since it seems that the Clinton Foundation hasn't filed anything either, but then the Trump Foundation is such a, which is a two-bit operation by comparison. You know, it's like a million in it, and you know they have like a, they run through like $1 billion every so often. And so this is a note of irony to me. I think it's very funny.
There's so much irony because you know how the Donald Trump was accusing Hillary Clinton of not creating any jobs, and how are you going to, you know, all these years you've been in politics, you haven't created any jobs, and I've created all these jobs, right? And they said, oh, what are you talking about? And I think I saw a story this week that the Clinton Foundation is going to be laying off 74 employees.
I think they're passing the baton of this sort of scam foundation. I mean, whatever happened to the money that was supposed to go to Haiti? I think they're passing it on to Obama. He's got some new thing he's going to do, and they're assuming that Hillary's going to get the presidential job, and they're going to have to kind of shutter the foundation anyway.
So they'll move it off to Obama.
Obama, for his next... Obama have a foundation going pretty much in the same mode. Mm-hmm. You guys know how to do it right.
Yeah. Mm. Can he be Secretary of State?
I don't. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason he couldn't be.
I don't know if there's any rule that says
it's just you couldn't be president or vice president, I think is the rule.
So he can be Secretary of State, and then in 4 years or 8 years, Michelle will be running for president.
Yeah, with all her experience in politics.
Right, well, yeah, of course. Something I wanted to mention last week, and we talked about the hurricane a moment ago, Hurricane Matthew. But something that we actually bought for clients last week, because it was there's some seasonality in the month of September and October. Of course, that is hurricane season, right? And so we decided that for our clients, we bought a company called Generac, which symbol GNRC, which is a company that makes generators. Because seasonally, not only is it a time when there is potential for hurricanes and storms, but if you look at the seasonal patterns of this stock, October happens to be the best month by far for this stock on a seasonal basis. And with the hurricane coming, the stock was up 5.7% today in a down market.
Huh. So maybe that's a good
something,
pick.
Maybe something to, I forgot to mention it last week.
Oh, well.
Yep. All right. Let's a couple of different things we'll mention. We're going to get to the winner of the Close to the Pin Cup for September, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Of course, October is currently running, where you can enter your price for what the Dow Jones will be at the end of October 2016. And all the winners of these and the winners from the various CTP Cups in the Close to the Pin competitions in 2016 will then compete in December for the grand prize. But so you can actually get in on the deal right now by entering your guess either for, well, actually, the only thing running now is the Dow Jones Industrial Average. But one of the things I'll mention to you is if you are also very in love with John or myself, or you want to contribute to the Horowitz Hurricane Fund, you can actually go to dhunplugged.com and you can click the little donate button there. Any little bit helps, counts. It's great. And we really appreciate that. So go and do that. But now to announce the winner, who gets a wonderful, very one-of-a-kind, the only one ever produced DH Unplugged t-shirt, the official t-shirt for DH Unplugged, is Dean W., who came in about 25 points away from the final price for the Dow Jones Industrial Average on the close of September. He was 0.14% away. And the average, this is interesting, the average of all the price guesses was about 500 points, let's know, 15, let's see, hold on a second, 500 points lower.
The average was 500 points lower?
Mm-hmm, 17,845. And it finished up at 18,308.
Huh.
So people were looking.
What was his pick?
18,333. And that was something, by the way, that he mentioned, because he is a no agenda listener. He thought that he put the 333 in there because of the no agenda.
Well, look, it worked.
And so he thought there was something. Now he believes, I think.
Now he's a believer.
Yeah, he's a believer now. Current competition also going right now for, I got to see what this is going. This is open. For Wells Fargo. Let me give you a quick update on this one. You got a lot of people who are participating in this particular.
Yeah, this is a goodie.
So the average entry price is now $44. Current price is trading at $43.75. We have Christopher M., who is, and Greg S., who are tied right now, one penny away. We have a lot of people that are only about 1% away. Some people are 17% away. You're 8% away. You think it needs to go lower.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm 6.7% away, and I think it needs to go higher.
Oh, no.
And you can check these, by the way. You can go over to DH and Plug and click on the close to the pin that's active right now and see all the different listings in order of who's closest to the actual competition. That will end on the 7th of October. So I guess it's Friday.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right, that we can pass that. Okay. Oh, so I wanted to talk a little bit through this. So last week we talked about how over the course of the next couple of months, about 15 different states are going to be voting on various laws pertaining to the use of marijuana, whether it's going to be medicinal or whether it's going to be recreational. Several states are going. And that's been putting a bit of a fire underneath many of these stocks. I looked at some of these today. Now, some of these are small stocks with small prices, not a lot of volume. But they were rocking today. I mean, up 25%, up 20%, up 15%. This Cara that I picked up last week is up about 5% on the day. It's amazing. Grow Light, which you thought was out of business, was up like, I don't know, 30-something percent today, up 90% for the last month or so. These stocks are really moving pretty significantly. I don't know. Do you think that's going to just roll over once these votes happen?
I don't know. You know, this whole, I think still this is one of the great opportunities for investors. But picking this, and there's so many of these stocks. There are a lot of penny stocks. There's some real pink sheet stocks. I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff that you can look at. I don't know the name of it, but there, I know there's a tip sheet that's online that talks about nothing but marijuana stocks. And I have no idea. All I know is that it's, we're still at the bottom. You know, we're in the first inning of a 9-inning baseball game.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is when I look at these stocks, and I have a whole list of them on my screen, a lot of them have, after their symbol, they have a mark of either an F or sometimes other letters, which means that they're delinquent on some filings or possibly, possibly could be delisted or there's something not right. So that was also something there that I thought was really interesting. A lot of these companies, I guess, you know, made a big fanfare and came in doing really well. And then all of a sudden, I guess, that's why I ask if it's just going to, you know, just kind of crash after these votes, because we had a lot of votes.
I think that's the big question. Are right. they? They might.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's why I'm not obviously in any of them, but I should be in something, but I don't know what to do.
There's so many different parts. There's a company called Koosh, K-U-S-H, is the Koosh Bottling, I think it's called. That's not the symbol. There's another symbol to it. They make the little bottles.
They make the little bottles, yeah.
They make the bottles. They make all sorts of different things and some bongs and you know, pipes and different
glass
things.
Company, kind yeah, of.
Exactly. So that one's
been
moving.
Jobbers, so I don't think they actually make the glass.
Well, they distribute, and they have all sorts of different sealing bags and things like that. So that stock has been doing pretty well. I mean, just there's a couple of them that are more in line with biotechnology related to utilizing the plant for some kind of healing or pain. And then there's the other side of it, which is just everything related to it. Like I said, like the lights, like the bottling. You know, and other distribution, some dispensaries, and I'm just very interesting. It's just something to take a look at, I think, because I was really amazed by how incredible these things are moving. It's not just, you know, 2% here, 1% there, whatever. I mean, they're
yeah,
moving.
And it's I've noticed it too. I wonder if Ziploc bags would be going higher. No, probably not.
What makes them glad?
Probably Procter and Gamble or one of the big.
Oh, the rolling. Who makes rolling papers? Oh no, does anybody smoke it that way anymore?
I think so. I just got, somebody sent me a couple of these rolling papers from Canada.
Oh.
And because I asked for them, I saw a tweet of them. I said, oh, you got to get me some of these. These are hilarious. I think they're called Justin Trudeau's rolling papers. And there's a picture of Justin Trudeau or a cartoon, a caricature of him smoking a joint. And they're called Justin's or something.
Right.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. You know, have the Prime Minister of Canada on the side of rolling papers.
Yep.
So he sent me a couple. It's very funny.
Anyway, if anybody has any ideas, if anybody's done any research on this, you know what? Send it over to us. We'd like to see.
Yes, we'll look it over and
we'll talk about it.
I don't know. Talk about it some more, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, don't send us like, oh, I got this stock and I want you guys to pump it. Send us a little bit more in-depth look at something.
Yeah, and if you got any inside information, you know, that's like, good. Or if you're in the business, not inside technically, but if you're in the business and you're in the, you own a store or you've got some insight of some product brands, that's why like think Mary's or I think is the name of the one I talked about before, although they're private, I think. They make these salves and creams that my wife likes and for with the other stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Hemp?
No, the OBD or ODC, whatever it is. The other chemical that
you get high of that?
No, you can't. It's almost impossible.
Yeah. What's the point?
But it's got this pharmaceutical use, which of course the government denies, which is ludicrous because it's been studied to death and here and there, and it's proven to have all kinds of beneficial properties, but nobody wants to admit it for whatever reason. And something corrupt about that. But you know, if you have a story, you might see some trends. Might be interesting to us, and maybe we can do a little more research on it.
Yep.
I'd be interested in what anyone has to say. Yep,
that'd be great. All right, so an interesting report came out last couple of days. It seems that the number of stock buybacks announced in September came in at a monthly low not seen since 2011, even with the big buyback that was announced by Microsoft. And American Express, I think I mentioned that American Express is buying back like 15% of their company, which is unbelievable.
That's outrageous.
Yep. So dividend growth in the last two quarters also hit its weakest level since 2009 and into 2010. I don't know if it means anything, but one thing I do know is that buybacks have been a major component of holding up this market. Even with all the things that we've seen in terms of headwinds of Brexit, China, Europe, you know, the yield curve flattening out, earnings kind of stalling, five quarters of consecutive earnings growth declines, lackluster economic growth, et cetera. All of this has had a really no effect, because we've seen that at every time that this something has dipped, it's been bought back. And a lot of that is because we have such an incredible amount of buybacks. Now, if the buybacks are in fact slowing, and that could be because companies went out and said, you know what, if rates are going to go up, I'm going to do this now. And they kind of front loaded it at the end of last year into this year when they thought that rates were going to start moving up higher. And so I do wonder if that's going to provide any kind of, I don't know. Because it's hard to really quantify that. But I thought it was interesting that it was, we are seeing that buyback announcements are slowing precipitously.
Interesting.
Now, there was an announcement today.
I think they ran out of money.
Possibly. Well, they will run out of money if interest rates go up too high, because they won't want to borrow it and issue new bonds to actually bring the money in order to do these dividend hikes and buybacks. So that's, we know that. So that's why I mentioned that maybe because interest rates were rising, that possibly there was a little bit of hesitancy on the, on the companies to do anything further. The big announcement here on the heels of, by the way, on the plane, they were announcing, and in the airport, they announced it also on the plane about the Samsung Galaxy Note. Please unplug it. Do not charge it. Do not touch it. Do not do anything. Put it somewhere and get rid of it on the plane. Okay. But Google announced, because we need another smartphone, of course, Google announced that it's releasing today, just announced they're releasing a smartphone with what they say, unlimited storage, which I suppose means unlimited online storage, which that part of it didn't excite me too much. Cost is about $649 for the base unit. There is a headphone jack. However, it's not waterproof at all. Can't even take it in a shower. So did you see any specs on this thing?
No, but this unlimited storage thing is, I'm not buying it completely. I mean, Microsoft keeps promising something like this and they can never really deliver it.
Well, I mean, you have Amazon that just recently offered some kind of a plug-in for your phone, which will synchronize your photos and give you unlimited storage there. So I don't know if it's just unlimited storage for, let's say, photos, and what's the difference between this and like a Google Drive that they just give you an unlimited storage for and they connect it?
I don't see the difference.
Right. That's what this is. I mean, obviously, it's not there's unlimited storage on the phone itself.
No, that's for sure.
Right. So there's some kind of storage, whatever it is. And then the overage, whether it's, again, for photos, maybe for, notes and documents and It seems to me they just connected this whole, thing. I just find it very interesting that Google, who makes all sorts of money with their various, with the OS, is now going into competition with the other providers of their OS. Didn't they do this once before?
Yeah, they didn't do well.
Right? They don't have a history of doing well with hardware, do they?
Well, their Nexus phone is... I don't think they're unsuccessful. They sold quite a few of them.
But then they had their Glass, Google Glass.
Oh, that was just dumb.
They had their... are their Chromebooks selling well?
Yeah, Chromebooks actually sell well.
They're cheap.
Coders like those things.
But this is like the same thing where it has mainly the whole point of the... it's a lightweight, low storage device that you can utilize the cloud for the backbone, right? Same thing. This is a miniature Chromebook.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, that was announced today, and I looked at over the specs, and I was underwhelmed. This supposedly be the news says the headlines are the first real competitor to the iPhone.
No,
I agree. That's ludicrous.
It's just an HTC phone. It doesn't have half the features that the iPhone has, which is really centric about the camera. With all kinds of cool things.
They did have something about the camera, how the camera was really cool, and there was image stabilization, and there was a variety of other features with the camera. But this new camera with the iPhone, I think, is probably, it looks a lot better. We'll see. You know, with the one with the two cameras, especially, where you could do the close and the far away, at least somewhat.
Yeah.
We'll see if Bettany. What she could do with it, because she could do some serious work with those iPhones.
Yeah, she's made I think well over $1 million selling a little app.
Gotta love it. Okay, let's finish this off before we get to the to our stock picks here with some of the rumors that are going on. I was wondering your commentary on this. So last week, you remember there was a rumor that, oh, Twitter is definitely going to be in some kind of discussion with some company about possibly a sale, right? And the stock moved up like 20%. Mm-hmm. And so is it Microsoft or is it good to be Google? Or, you know, okay, so Google confirmed today that there was some kind of discussion of sorts. Then at the end of the week, after all the murmurs died down about these various companies, you know, Salesforce buying them and all that, maybe Disney will buy them. Disney's going to buy Twitter.
Yeah, you know. I almost wrote a column on that because I still can't figure out why Disney would buy them in the first place.
Exactly. So you got these rumors that are going on and, you know, this one could buy this and, you know, okay. And then it dies down until they, you know, they pick up, what's the next thing we can, you know, put under investors' nose to get them excited. So Netflix was the rumor today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday that there may be some takeover speculation by Disney. So Disney seems to be, you know, Disney seems to be the one that everybody's looking at because obviously we know that their growth has slowed. They're having some difficulty with some of their properties, not necessarily the Disneyland, but like ESPN and streaming and with these skinny bundle issues and all this. And, you know, the sports, they're losing some or they don't have as many users and, you know, their earnings are slowing, et cetera. So I guess they're looking at Disney as, you know, could buy all these different things because Disney is such a widespread media company that they could almost be accepted as a potential buyer for all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think this is all bogus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Disney's involved with any of these deals.
Especially with the price multiple and the incredibly high price of the Netflix property, this would be, I would say, it's not an earnings deal that they'd want it for. Even if they can get further distribution, which I don't know how they can get that either.
No, I don't see it either. They got plenty of distribution.
Yeah.
Now, this, of course, may be something that accounted for the insider that was buying all the Netflix stock, which is why I put it on our list.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
But it's dumb.
I thought it was. So I started thinking about what's the next rumor that we're going to maybe see that will push the stock up. Because if it's rumor season... Because you can't, you know, there's nothing else that really you could talk about that may want to move markets up due to the fact that, well, you know, earnings is coming in and maybe again another quarter of negative growth. And, you know, we have a presidential election on you know, that's going to get things a little bit sloppy. And we have a Fed who is supposedly going to raise rates at the end of the year. So what other things will the players use to try to bump up stocks?
Well, that's the best way.
Yeah, exactly. So here's a couple of ones I thought about.
Okay.
Apple to buy Pandora. Does it fit there?
That is a good one. I think that's a plus.
That's a believable one, right?
Yeah, there is a rumor going on that Spotify is buying Pandora or Pandora is buying Spotify.
Okay. But it, you know, if you have one of these big companies coming in, there's a lot more.
Oh, yeah, that's what you want.
A lot more pocketbook.
Especially with a huge budget.
Right, exactly. And a lot of cash on hand. They can just dole it out. How about Amazon to buy Etsy? I mean, Amazon has the distribution platform.
I think that's another good. I think you're on a roll here. It makes nothing but sense.
I may go downhill very quickly in the next one. I'm not sure. IBM to buy Salesforce?
I think it's probably a good idea for IBM, but this is my latest thinking on IBM is that this would not be in their wheelhouse for currently.
Mm-hmm. And finally,
for their wheelhouse is artificial intelligence, right, stuff.
Yeah. Google to buy Expedia?
No.
Well, they have the travel they just came out with, and it's they like that whole kind of that whole side of things where they could be selling things online, especially travel, where they have, you know, Google.
All their retail efforts have failed horribly.
All right. So of this list, we like Apple to buy Pandora as a potential rumor that could swirl around. Amazon maybe to buy Etsy.
I like that one.
And the other two are not as good. All right. There's probably a lot more we could think about. In all sorts of fields right now. Obviously, put Disney buying, I don't know what, but some...
Anything.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to the discussion of the stocks, what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm writing a... what was it? I just finished it, too. It's funny. I forgot already. I have to think about it. I'll come up with it in a minute.
Well, it's obviously going to be very exciting, so we'll stay tuned.
No, it's one of those. It's one of those where I'm excoriating the. I think it was not. Was it Yahoo? Yeah, maybe. I think. No, I'll have to let me look it up so I can give you because I don't want to. And by the way, this is not uncommon. If you write a lot, you write something as soon as it's finished. You kind of like you're done.
Yeah.
So you don't remember what you wrote. it actually makes it very interesting to read some of your old stuff because most of the time it's new to you.
You're like, oh, did I write that? That was brilliant. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
All right, let's take a look at the stocks. This is a game that we play each and every week where we come up with some ideas for whatever reason it may be to look at either buying or selling or shorting a stock. And it's a game that we play, not a recommendation at all.
I remember what I wrote now.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
I wrote about Microsoft's update failure on Windows 10, the most recent Windows 10 update.
The one that they forced it upon you?
Well, they forced all of them upon you.
No, this one was really forced.
This one was bad. My wife's machine stopped working,
yep.
And there's all kinds of other issues. So I went through the history of this what Microsoft's trying to accomplish and why they should stop.
Yeah, they. I walked into my office one day, and I saw this spinning thing on one of my computers. That, by the way, I didn't want to update to begin with, but they forced the conversion from Windows 7 to Windows 10. That was the first thing they did. And then they have this other update, and it was just spinning and spinning and spinning for like a half hour. I'm like, that can't be still thinking. So I turned the machine off. I just clicked the button, which you're not supposed to do. And I started back up, and it did the same thing for a while. And then finally, it got happy.
Yeah.
And came back on.
This happened to me. The exact same thing happened to me. It was stuck in some sort of update loop. I just pulled the plug on it.
Yeah.
Started again, and then it booted.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not like it was an hour. We're talking about... it was going overnight.
Yeah,
it was this like
one too.
8 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, this one must have been going overnight too because I walked in the morning. I'm like, oh, what happened that or there? When that did that start? Anyway, I was mentioning there's a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy and sell any security. Use a professional financial advisor to make any decisions because we're not liable for any of your losses. If John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horowitz Company clients own any of the stocks discussed, we will note that in the disclosures, and you can follow along live as these stocks tick up and down, what's open, what's closed over on DH Unplugged. Just click the weekly stock picks button. It's not much different on this list, really. It's kind of just all hanging out.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. At least my Netflix was a good choice.
That's very good. Biogen, too, was yours. Your short Biogen, that's up 3.5%. Shake Shack up 19.8%.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, starting to move nicely. The rest of the stuff is a little bit down, a little bit up. Herbalife, I still can't believe that I'm off on this. There's something not right about this. I'm still, I'd double down on it if I could in the game.
Oh, well, there's the mistake of the century.
TBT, the ultra short layman 20-year, was actually up 2.29% today, which is some of the reason the markets were a little bit spooked. Your Wells Fargo keeps on going lower. You're up 7%. And the situation gets worse and worse, by the way, for Wells Fargo. If you've been reading any of the updates, several states are pulling out massive amounts of money from the management of their money management divisions. And there's just a lot of, it's got, you know, unfortunately, they announced this at the wrong time. They announced this right in the middle of a major political season. I don't know. They waited all this time to announce it to begin with. Why couldn't they wait till December?
Yeah.
This is a bad time.
I agree.
Bad idea.
Just a punching. They've become a punching bag.
Yep. Nuveen Select tax-free income portfolio. Flat, a little bit down. Cara Therapeutics is down 2%. Insys Therapeutics.
I'm very disappointed with my Nuveen.
Yeah, it's bonds. That's what happens with the bonds. If rates go up, it's going to get clobbered.
Yeah.
I mentioned that.
I know, but it looked like a long-term winner. But it would have been a great long-term winner 3 years ago. I guess I'm a little late to the party.
Maybe. We got both sides covered, though, between the TBT and NXR, both sides of the bond situation are covered. So I'm going to add one more crazy cannabis play.
Okay.
General Cannabis Corp. It was up 18% today. It's a $2.90 stock. So I'm taking a 20% stock. Yeah, I'm taking a 20% stop on this one.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pushing it. I have one, yeah, which I think is a winner.
Okay.
VSAR.
VSAR. Versaritis.
Yeah, something. Versaritis. This is a, you know, my plays on the certain pharmas, including Seattle Genetics, which I'm out of, but Seattle Genetics is one of the rationales for this company. This is an insider, a director, who's also a director at ICPT, which is Intercept Pharma,
which has been doing very well, yes.
Yeah, he's an insider there, and he's bought that stock for a while. And he's also an insider at Seattle Genetics. Now, although he's been selling it and buying it, he's been doing these inside deals for, looks like, a number of years. No deal that he's ever done. This guy is Srivanas. He's an Indian, apparently, Akar Raju. No deal he's ever done over the years has been more than $1.6 million, which was a deal he did to sell some Seattle Genetics back at some time ago. That's the biggest he's ever done anything. It's like, let me give you the numbers. 512,000, 1.2 million, 400,000, 200,000. These are the values of these deals. 50,000, 368. And it's like that. And the most recent deals he's done were $53,000, $21,000, $26,000. The deal he just did for VSAR, $7
million. Wow. That's a big difference.
Now, this a huge difference in his behavior. So I'm very suspicious. So he is in the Seattle Genetics and this Intercept and probably some others, I'm sure. He knows something. Because you don't do this is splurge.
Yeah. That's a
so
big
he's
amount.
Either an idiot or he's way in and he's actually pushing his luck. And as we know, a lot of these Indian traders have gone overboard and gotten busted and thrown in jail. So I'm thinking this guy is all in for some big move. And I would take a good look at this thing.
I mean, that is a, I mean, if he's only playing for a small amount and he comes in all at once, even if he was in the past just dollar cost averaging, adding a little bit here and there, and then he comes and plunks down $7 million. That's a large.
Yes. That's very. Large.
Especially on a biotech company, which, you know, has a lot of, you know, it's either make a lot of these either make it or break it.
Yeah. They're very hard to invest in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it.
So that's my pick. Okay. Pick of the week.
Sounds good. We're going to end it there. Of course, next week, as we mentioned, we're not going to be broadcasting from the broadcast booth from Hurricane Central here. We'll keep you updated on all the things that are going on with regard to. Oh,
yeah, sure you keep.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, tweet a lot while the thing's coming in.
Oh, okay.
You can be online.
Maybe I could do a periscope of the hurricane.
That'd
stuff.
Be great.
By the way, remember last week we were talking about Endurance, the company Endurance Holdings. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I did some research on this. Did I tell you?
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't tell me, but you told me you're going to.
So it turns out, do you know who they own? They own Constant Contact. They own HostGator and I think Bluehost it's called. A bunch of hosting companies and Constant Contact and other types of mail services.
Hmm.
So that whole thing that looked like it was strange with their website and all that, it still is strange, by the way. But a lot of people have said that since they've taken over recently, because there was this merger and they took over a bunch of these properties, services have gotten downhill. I mean, I could tell you personally that we use some servers by HostGator and their service has gone terribly downhill in the last, I don't know, year.
Interesting.
But they're probably because a company bought them and they're managing it for profit. Yep, managing it for profit. So it is a true it is a real company.
Okay. Well, now we know.
Yep. All right. I'll talk to you next week. And Lashana.
2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Lashana Tova Tikatevu. May you be inscribed in the Book of Life and next year in Israel.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. I'll talk to you.
See ya.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket stands a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.